You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his father's knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party gonna have out in the St. John's Walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and Tom didn't make it tonight. He couldn't. He's out of cell range right now with his team. But we'll keep your tabs on him. But I'd like to thank all the listeners out there for coming up every Wednesday evening and listening to the show. I'd like to thank you for sending me all your emails and questions and comments, and also for dropping a line on our homepage. Appreciate all your goodwill and all the good doings, and especially all you people out there that sent me emails of getting well, and for both me and Tom. And I'm better. I'm getting better. I'm much better now. So I'm over the flu. Well, we're going to start out tonight. This is a kind of a good experience here. Blake from Alabama gave me a call a couple days ago, and he was out bow hunting deer, and he had an experience. So we're going to go out to Alabama and talk with our friend Blake and just have him tell us what took place there. Blake, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good. What about you?
I'm doing well.
Well, that's good.
Well, Blake, When did this event take place?
Well, not last week, but the week before on Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you tell us, just tell us a little bit what you were doing and how it transpired and what took place. Just like you're talking to me on the phone. No problem.
All right. Well, I went and got my tree stand about 5:30 one evening, on that evening, and I've been sitting there for about a good 30 to 40 minutes, and I looked over in the tree line, and a big thick brush, and I saw a big black running through the tree line, and I didn't really know what it was. I thought it was a bear at first, and it walked out in the open, and it done a few circles, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's really what I'm seeing, is Sasquatch or Bigfoot, and it was bending over doing something. I ain't never saw nothing like it before in my life. It was about 8 foot tall, ain't had no neck, broad shoulders, and I watched it for about 10 minutes, and 10 to 15 minutes, and then it darted back in on the left side of the tree line, and I ain't saw it since then.
I understand. Well, when you saw this creature, what went through your mind? Now, you were bow hunting at the time?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. So, what went through your mind when you saw this thing? I mean, obviously, fear or whatever. How did you feel?
Well, I was scared at the same time, but I was amazed at what I was seeing too, and I ain't never saw nothing like it before in my life, and I believed in it before, but a little bit, but now you can believe I know it's there now, and I was scared and I wanted to shoot it, but all I had was a bow and I didn't want this thing to come running at me, so I was kind of scared and I stayed in my stand for a very long time. Making sure it was gone.
Now, you said it was black, right?
Yes.
Could you tell any feet? How far away do you think you were from it?
Well, I was about 50 to 100 yards away.
Uh-huh.
If that.
Could you see the hair on the body or anything like that to, like, any definition of it?
I couldn't really.
Long and stringy or anything like that, or matted or anything like that?
It was kind of looked like it was matted, but I couldn't really tell.
Right.
But real long and real dark black, darkest black animal I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Real tall, about 8 foot.
How did the arms look?
The arms were real tall, kind of skinny, but kind of big too.
Uh-huh.
And when it took footsteps, it took real long footsteps and walked real fast and real quick-like.
And had a big stride, huh?
Yes, sir, big strides, real big strides.
Now, when it went away, as you watched it go away, was it just walking or running?
It was walking because it never saw me.
Uh-huh.
And it walked out of one thicket and walked around in that opening for a minute and went into on the left side of the thicket. And I was just amazed at what I was seeing.
I can imagine. And so now when you got all done with that, obviously you went home, right?
Yes, sir.
Who did you tell?
Well, I called y'all.
Okay, I know that.
And, yes, sir.
But who else did you tell? I mean, did you tell anybody in the family?
Well, as soon as I got inside, I told my mom. Told my mom the story. Well, she could tell I saw something because she asked me as soon as I walked in the door, "Did you see a ghost?" And I was like, I "said no, ma'am, but I saw Bigfoot." And at first she kind of laughed, and I was like, "No, mom, I'm telling you, I saw Bigfoot." And then I explained to her the story, and then after that, my brother and my dad got home, and I told my my brother and my dad, and they was kind of like, okay, whatever. And then I told my uncle, which I've talked to you a little bit about, and he believed me, and because he had an encounter too. And I told my pawpaw and my meemaw, and they both believed me because their son has seen them out here on the same place. And that's about really the only people I've told, and you.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And now obviously you called about, I think it was, well, I'm not sure what time it was, your time. It was pretty late your time when you gave me a call, right?
Yes, sir. It was.
And I didn't answer the phone, but you left a message, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Yeah. And I got back with you the next day, I think, the next morning, right? Was it that night?
I think it was that night.
Yeah, it was that night. Yeah, it was. You got to understand, I get lots of calls, so sometimes I get it all messed up.
Yeah.
But, okay, so then about a day or so transpires, and then remember I told you I didn't have somebody give you a call?
Yes, sir.
Chuck Creel?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And his other friend, too.
Mm-hmm. And so what's your plan right now, do you think?
Well, if they get their stuff together and I get my stuff together, I'm planning on them coming down and we maybe finding some more evidence of this thing and maybe getting to see it or letting them see it, and I would love to see it again, and maybe I'd love to find some more evidence, hear it, or get to see it a little bit more, and I would love for them to come down.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you can, you're kind of interested right now, aren't you, in researching this thing, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am.
Kind of piqued your interest in seeing this thing, kind of piqued your interest in doing that.
Yes, sir, it does a lot.
That's super. Well, gosh, I want to tell you, Blake, at the end of our show, we have about a 10 or 15 minute period where everybody gets together, all the people that are on the show get together and they can ask questions of each other. And would you mind staying till the end of the show? And then what we'll do is we'll open it up for everybody, and then you can even ask questions. You know, you're going to listen to the rest of the show. We'll have other people that are on here that have had similar experiences to yours. And,
I don't mind.
And you can ask them questions, and they may want to ask you questions also.
Yes, sir. I would like to do that. That would be nice.
In fact, I think our good friend Chuck Creel is on here tonight, so we'll have him on there then too. And you can talk with each other a couple minutes there also.
Okay, Chuck, the dude I talked to is talking about coming down?
Yeah.
Okay,
He's on there right now. He dialed in tonight, so we'll get you all together. Well, Blake, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your experience with us.
Yes, sir.
I'll keep in touch with you.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate you letting me come on. And anybody who has ever seen him, I suggest them calling you because you got to talk to about this.
Oh, thank you. Well, you're going to hear a bunch of other people on here tonight that also have had experiences very similar to yours. And
yes,
so it'll make you feel a little better at home. You're not, you don't feel real lonely.
Yes.
Well, sometimes, when you think you're the only one in anything, nobody's going to believe you, and you go into this kind of, especially when you tell people and they start making fun of you and stuff like that, it's, but these people that you're going to hear tonight, some of the other people are also, they've got on the show, and they've been here for, some of them been here for a few years, and they started out just like you did. We all started out like you did.
Yes, sir.
Okay? I'm going to mute you out, and you can listen to the rest of the show, and then towards the end of the show, I'll unmute everybody, and you'll be back on with us, okay, Blake?
All right, that'll work, and talk to you at the end.
Yep, and thank you so much for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hey, Bill, is that Blake?
That's Blake.
Well, good, buddy.
And this is Tom, by golly.
how you doing, everybody? Listen, I had a great announcement to make, and I wanted to call it in here and let everybody know this. Everybody get your ears on. Sit down and listen to what I'm going to tell you real close. A week from tonight, I guess that's the 13th, isn't it, Bill?
I believe it is. Hold on, I'll tell you. It is.
Okay, the 13th of November, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a special show, a two-hour show. The name of the show is going to be called The Swindle Behind the Patterson-Gimlin Film Footage Deception. One more time. The Swindle Behind the Patterson-Gimlin Film Footage Deception. For the first time ever, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to hear the truth. You're going to hear the real truth from the people who know. That's going to be on the show, a two-hour show. I want everybody in the social media to play the tom-toms, to play those drums, and let everybody know that Tom Biscardi and Marco Bill are going to have one hell of a show next Wednesday about the swindle behind the Patterson-Gimlin film footage deception, the one that everybody calls the Holy Grail, ladies and gentlemen. The people are going to be on this show are going to tell the truth. They're going to tell the story behind the story, what actually happened. So let all the Bigfoot organizations around this country know what's going to happen next week. It's going to be on our show, Bigfoot Live, The Swindle Behind the Patterson-Gimlin Film Footage Deception. Ladies and gentlemen, it's about time that everybody knows what's going on. That whole thing was a hoax, was a ruse, was a deception, and all the people that were taken down because of this. It's going to be on our show, live, Bigfoot Live, next Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen, 7 p.m., chock full of nuts, man. It's going to have 2 hours, hard-hitting evidence. Greg Long will be on. Bob Hieronymus will be on. Ray Kroll will be on, just to name a few. The people that did the Sapruta film in the JFK assassination, they will be on. You're going to hear and see things that you've never heard before. Let that social meeting drum get beaten, ladies and gentlemen. Tell everybody. Next Wednesday, it's going to be show of all shows. We're going to out the Patterson film once and for all. This isn't going to be just nationally. It's going to be internationally. We're going to have people from around the world listening in. We may be having people from around the world contributing, I'm telling you. So who's who of the Bigfoot industry needs to know next Wednesday, the 13th of November, 7 p.m. Pacific, on the Bigfoot Live Network, we are going to have it out here. And we're going to open it up to the world. They can all call in with their questions, and the experts will be there to answer them. Bill, this is going to be probably one of our biggest shows, buddy.
Mm-hmm. I believe it will be.
One of our biggest shows that we've ever, ever had. Ladies and gentlemen, please forgive me. I haven't been well. I've been out in the brush. I've been beat up bad. But, you know, I'm feeling better. My equilibrium's starting to get somewhat better, and the dizziness has kind of subsided for a little while. And thank you, Bill, for doing the fine job that you're doing.
Oh, that's okay, Tom?
Okay, buddy. Are you okay, though? You're feeling all right yourself?
Oh, yeah, I'm much better.
Okay, this and the guests that are on, I caught a glimpse, and Blake, that was a phenomenal story, and I did hear your message that you left. And, of course, the Swede and Rocky's on, and Anthony, wow, I saw those pictures. Unbelievable, partner. I just can't believe what's going on around this country, and it's all over, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the East Coast, not the West Coast, but all over the United States. There's so much action going on, and maybe this might be the year. I keep saying every year, maybe it'll be our year, but you never know. Nevertheless, I'm going to give you back to Bill. Remember, mark your calendars, the 13th of November, 7 p.m. Pacific, two-hour show. The swindle behind the Patterson-Gimlin film footage deception. Only on one place to be heard, BigfootLive.com. See you next week. Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
Okay, Tom, take care. Get better.
Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Tom Biscardi. He popped in anyway. He wasn't feeling that well. And he's been out, as I told you, he was earlier today. He was out with a team here out in the woods. And but he had to pop in to tell everybody what our new blockbuster show will be next week. We're going to go to a commercial and we're going to be right back. Okay? Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. And now we're going to go out there to Virginia to talk to our good buddy Anthony. Anthony, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Marco Bill. Glad to hear Tom.
Well, by golly. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I got to tell you. Anthony has sent us some more pictures, and also he has a sound file. I'm going to play the sound file, but if you want to see the pictures, there's a slideshow, and it's up on www.bigfootlive.com. And if you go on the main, you're going to come into the main page, the main page in there. Look at the left, and there's a table of contents, and it says, what's on this week? Click on that button, and you'll go to the listing of the show tonight. And under Anthony, you'll see that there's a link there. Just click on that link, and you'll see all the pictures that we're going to be talking about. And these are all tree formations, more recent ones that he's taken, and so a couple of them unique. But also, Anthony has been out and about, keeping busy. And what I'd like to do right now is, Anthony, I want to play this first. And
sure.
Then, once we get done playing it, you can tell us the whole story and how it led up to that. Now, here it goes. And what you got to listen carefully. Now, this is not a very good recording on the air it's not because of the quality of the recording that Anthony sent. It's because it's the quality of the sound on the radio show. And it's not a very high quality sound. But if you download this, or were to download it or something from the show later on, it'll come over at a higher quality. Here it goes, okay? Now, in the background, you're going to hear you're going to hear the crickets in the foreground, but in the background, what I want you to listen to is there's this howl. It's very faint on this, on a better recording. It's real plain. I mean, you can hear it as loud as day. Okay, we're going to go back now. We're going to go back to Anthony. And Anthony, why don't you tell us a little bit about what's been going on?
Well, went to visit our old friend Jack, and you know, he had invited me up his way because there's been some happenings going on in his direction, and so you know, I happened to have some time, and so I said sure. We went out, I went up his way, and well, he was shown, you know, unfortunately, I didn't spend the amount of time that I wanted to spend, but we did spend a good amount of time so that he could show me some of the evidence of the activity that he, you know, that's been going on in his area, and so, and those are all the pictures that you see on online. You know, and if you look at some of the footprints, you know, in the mud, you know, that area is normally filled with water, but the water was down low, and so you were able to see the some of the footprints that were there. You know, he showed me those, you know, that area where the footprints were. I mean, there was one, if you look at one of the pictures where he's in and you see a whole bunch of trees, I mean, that was probably, I never seen so many trees, you know, congested in one spot, all kind of like, you know, it kind of like, I don't know how to describe it, except maybe formed kind of like a bowl. You know, they were all, you know, all around, you know.
All pulled over him.
You know, they all these arched trees, they just kind of like bent inwards, you know, but again, if you kind of made a circle, they kind of like all bent towards like right where he was standing, you know, which was pretty amazing, you know. But in the evening, I'm sorry, you can catch my breath here. In the evening, we went out and, we had, set up, and you know, I had my recorder out, and he had his dish out, and he had made some calls. But those that recording right there, that was recorded somewhere else, the one that you had played. And
yeah.
If I had sent you that recording by accident, I apologize. That's not the recording that we had made this past weekend. But I will tell you, okay, we had quite an experience, and you know, from where he was trying to tell me, you know, trying to fill me in on, you know, what was from his experience, what was going to happen at this particular location, this, you know, that when he's able to make these calls, he says you're going to hear them running. It's going to sound like, you know, very, very, you know, something is thump 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 thump. You're going to hear them running, and he said just to be mindful of that. And he had just told me, you know, just, you know, look at the sky, you know. And he made a call, and you know, didn't hear them running because they were already there, okay? And, you know, because he made a call kind of like in front of us, and then directly, you know, 90 degrees to the right of us, they responded. And, I mean, it couldn't have been no more than, you know, 10, 20 yards on the other side of this thick brush, you know. And you know, we heard one loud scream, you know, it sounded like a, you know, I don't know, maybe like a monkey or like a peacock type of thing, but more like a monkey. I mean, it was a loud screech, like, and then you hear, you know, some other mumbling underneath that, you know, and almost sounded like an owl sound, but it was like, whoa, 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 you know, it was kind of, and it was, and then after that, it was just silence, you know. Yeah, I guess, you know, we knew they were there, they knew we were there, and you know, and that was it. You know, I mean, we heard that, and I'm going to tell you, man, that's the closest I've ever been. You know, I wish I could say I saw something. I wish I could say that I had an image to give you, but I can, you know, tell you that in Jack's area, they are there. You know, they're definitely there. You know, and you know, like I said, man, it was quite an experience, you know, just to hear them, you know, scream that loud. And at the same time, I was also thankful that they were not violent or aggressive, you know.
Well, by golly, I'll tell you. Well, that one recording that I have is actually what I did is I cut it down from the recording that you had last week.
Okay.
And that was the same recording, correct?
Well, I thought I had that recording was that you played was the one when I was at my neighbor's.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
4:30 in the morning.
Right. There's another one that I labeled 4:05 a.m. And that recording was the one that was what we had recorded this past weekend.
Did I get that?
I believe I sent it to you. Why I say I apologize. That's why I say I apologize. I sent you the wrong file. But
that was the only one that looked like it was a dupe. It looked like it was the only one I got. That's okay. Don't worry. We can get the other one. We can put it back up later on. Okay. It's no problem. I just wanted, but even the recording you had last week, I cut down because there was a lot of, just crickets on either side of where the howl was. So I just did the howl where the howl started and the howl's end. And you can obviously hear that pretty clearly in the background. It's more difficult than this, with the audio level on the radio station is not that great. But when you download it into your, when you download the recording of the show and then you play it, you'll get a much higher definition. It works pretty good. So.
Yeah, but I remember those howls too. So that was pretty. I wasn't out to make any recordings in that, but thankfully I happened to have my recorder right there with me, and so, mm-hmm. I just set it out, and that's what I got. Actually, the whole recording was probably about 3 minutes long, and that's what I trimmed it down for, so I can be able to email it to you.
Sure. Well, gosh, so you did pretty good this last couple of weeks here.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty busy.
Yeah, and also, in addition, I was working late, okay? And mind you, I'm in a totally different area now, probably about 2 hours away from where Jack's at. And I'm working late, and I was trying to find a particular location in the dark, and I got lost. I kind of misread my map there, and in the area, probably a couple miles out the way, and I just kind of said to myself, hey, this is kind of looks like the Bigfoot country, but I'm on duty, and I have to get where I need to get so I can get home. It was already way past dinner, and so I finally find a location. I get what I need to get going. Get the device program like I need to get it. And as I'm leaving that location, now mind you, we're in on a person's property. We have a right of way there, but I'm still on private property. And as I'm leaving, when I'm right behind one of them round bale of hay, I'm trying to say, you see a pair of red eyes. When I was working my flashlight, trying to lock the things up behind me, and I was, at first I thought it was kind of like a reflector, and then I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, there's, two round red things, I knew it wasn't, normally, when you see a cat or, something like that, they'll either close their eyes or they'll turn their head, and you can see that, I had a bright flashlight that could see pretty far, and, that thing, all you just saw was just dark. And then it just went down, and that was it.
Wow. <Yeah. laughs> Well, that'll turn your blood up a little bit, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of interesting because, it's just like you said, they're all over, I know they're not in the city, but,
I wouldn't say that either. By golly, I just had a call here yesterday, and a guy from Palm Springs. This is California, Palm Springs, right? And it's right on the edge of town there at Palm Springs. And there's a guy that owns a family or something, owns this estate or a house, and it's got a big hedge on it. And he's been watching these things come up there every night now for the last several months.
Oh, get out.
And, they lean against the wall for some reason. They come up there for something, food or something. I'm not sure what.
Snake man.
Well, I hope he has some food there. Maybe set up some video to catch the creatures.
I don't know. We're going to have him on. We may not have him on next week because we've got the special show, but we'll have him on probably a week after.
Okay.
And then we can find out what's going on. Well, Anthony, thank you so much for your time and sharing with us. And you're going to stay to the end of the show, right?
Yeah, I plan on it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to go around on to the rest of the show here, and we'll meet at the end of the show. And you can any questions you got, and we'll we'll open it up for questions.
All righty.
Thanks, okay. Anthony. Take care.
You too, bud.
Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony from Virginia. And now we're going to go right out here to our good friend Mac. Mac from Tennessee. Mac has been here a long time. He's been away here. He's been busier than heck. A lot of things going on in his but tonight Mac is with us, and by golly, how are you doing, Mac?
By golly, this cowboy feels good, bro. Oh, man. I feel so good. I told my horse he could ride me tomorrow. Hey, I've got old news for you. I got an Amos driver said he saw one come across the road, and he got to the next town, and they got the patient to the next town, and as they were coming home, the other EMT said, "Man, you look like you've seen a ghost." He said, "Man, I saw a real live Bigfoot. I saw it come across the road at that swamp." And he said, "You got to be kidding." And, well, come to find out, it's the same place where we've been hearing a couple of ladies talk about the noise and the smell and the stuff. And it's where they saw a cave or something there. And Theron and I had talked about going out and putting cameras up. And we just hadn't had a chance to get out there. But it was in that same neck of the woods right there.
Wow. There's been a couple of sightings over there, huh?
Yeah. Well, this was on the, not the reservation, but it's not about 10 miles from where we are.
Uh-huh.
And, also, there's a law officer who was, he's like in charge of the inmates when they're on the work detail, you know. And, I think he's like a deputy or either a policeman, but he's in charge of our workmates. But he was walking out of his house or walking out of a building, and he looked straight ahead, and he saw this creature walking straight toward him. And he turned around, ran back inside, and he didn't know whatever happened to it, but he told him it was a Bigfoot creature. Now,
wow.
A friend of mine told me that's a pretty reliable fella, and I haven't gone over there to check it out yet. And I forgot to tell you that last time I went out just investigating about a young boy had seen one out his window, and his whole family come out the back door and watch this creature walk off. Well, I've got to tell you that the Game and Fish came down there that night. And they found tracks and impressions, and they told them they would be back, but they never came back.
Yeah, I understand.
So,
yeah,
you know how that goes.
I know how it goes. Yeah, especially
that, that's
the
kind of stuff kind of been happening. I just hadn't had a chance to really get out there. I put up about 150 bales of hay today, just before it rained, and
yeah,
I'm going to try to get my horses back over closer to my house. I like to work my horses in woods and tracking, and I got a good road place to ride and some good swamp area to ride. And, it's just easier and better. Man, I just enjoy it better. But now, sometimes Ron and I go out, you know, kind of do some family and stuff like that, and I enjoy doing that. We're going to do that in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, heck. You're going to stay in touch with me anyway, and we'll just keep in touch with you. And
can I tell you one quick Theron story? I told him I was going to tell you, but...
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
One night you had Theron on the program, and it got about time for Theron to come on, and so you said, "Hello, Theron, how you doing?" And Theron didn't answer. And finally you said, "I guess he must have gone to sleep." And, well, this is what happened. Theron went to the restroom, but he left his phone on the coffee table. Well, he came back, he couldn't find it. Well, Theron's got this little dog called Tyrone, and Tyrone grabbed that phone and played with it and took it over to the neighbor's house. And Savannah was looking for that phone. He couldn't find it. So that's what happened. I told Brian I was going to tell it. He said, that's okay. Go ahead and tell it. But that's what happened to him that night when you thought he was asleep.
Yeah, no, we were all on the line there, and Theron was all dialed in.
Yeah.
And and I kept calling Theron, and he wasn't answering. And so then I thought, huh.
I thought maybe he
might have fallen asleep, right? But the dog took the phone to his neighbor's house.
No, he was a two dog, too, I'm telling you, sure.
Gosh. Amazing. Oh, jeez.
I had to put it in there.
Well, thank you so much, Mac, for coming on tonight. It's a pleasure having you on here.
Yeah, is Sweden?
You're going to stay till the end of the show, right?
Yeah, is Rocky and Sweden on tonight?
Yeah, they're going to. In fact, they're next.
Okay, good. I messed up.
Yeah, and what at the end of the show we're going to have our little get together with everybody asking questions.
And tell Anthony I could hear that a while ago, the recording. I could hear that real good over here in Mississippi.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Real good.
Okay, man.
Okay, that's all I got.
Thank you, and take care, and we'll see you at the end of the show.
Sure.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's Mac from Mississippi, and he's going to be with us at the end of the show here. We're going to go for a quick little commercial, and then we're going to be right back.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back. Well, now let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, what we decided to do, I talked to Rocky and Swede a couple of weeks ago, really. And they sent me a video that they took last year when they were out in the wild. And I'm looking and reviewing that right now. We're going to cut it down into some different segments. They have some absolutely phenomenal things. I think it would be very interesting for people to take a look at to show you how they hunt and how they do things in the woods and in the wild. And they got a lot of really, really neat stuff. What we decided to do, we're gonna open a little segment of the show from now on, and we're gonna call it Footnotes. And what that's gonna be about, it's gonna be primarily right now Rocky and Swede, but other people as well, giving us a little rundown on some particulars of. When you're out in the woods and you're out of your environment, most of us are used to being in the city, in the town, and we know how to find our way around on a road map. We can read street signs, but when you're out in the wild in the woods, you got to know some very basic things, and some things are difficult. And the dangers aren't necessarily just wild animals. The dangers are the weather and it can be being lost. I mean, there's so many different things that can happen out there if you're not in tune with what you're doing. And if you're not accustomed to some basic rules that you have to use when you're out there in the wild. These things aren't just things that you naturally acquire. These are things that are learned that you have to go through and that you have to use in order to survive. And so instead of having street signs, there's other kinds of signs that nature gives us so that we can track animals, so we know our knowledge of the habits of the animal. There's so many different little things that you need to know. And tonight, Rocky and Swede are going to talk to us about some basic outdoor smarts on how they hunt creatures or how to hunt a creature. So anyway, here we go. We're gonna let me bring Rocky and Swede on. Swede, you're on, and Rocky, you're on. How are you doing, guys?
I'm doing good.
Doing fine, Marco. Just fine. Thank you.
Well, why don't you guys give us some basic rules that you guys use, some basics when you're out hunting, and I guess you call it wildlife smarts. There's little basic things that people need to know, and what you guys do, and how you keep things in order as you're going through. Could you do that for us?
You bet.
Sure. First, I want to tell Swede, I've mentioned it earlier, I got a phone call this morning about 6 o'clock on my way to the gym, and Curtis wanted me to come out to his place. Well, that's a long ways out of the way, but he said it was important. I got out there, and last night he heard his dog raising cane outside. He went outside, and the hobbit had broke into his smokehouse and trying to get a hog. Well, okay. Curtis put 400 grain bullets in it, so the hobbit is no longer.
Well,
I went out there and identified him, and he was about 10 years old, and his teeth was gone, and so that was why he's been raiding campsites and other people's smokehouses. I just thought
that explains it. I knew he was going to make a mistake sooner or later.
I just thought I'd let you know. Okay.
Well.
Back to the business at hand. Talking about tracking one of the, anything, one of the things that number one rule is when you're tracking anything, you don't want them to know that you're tracking them. Okay, I had an experience with a man, me and Robert refer to him not so fondly as the man who ran screaming, but he went out hunting with me one time, and I could smell him for a quarter of a mile, the cigarettes. And, of course, he always had to have a fire. He would build a fire every night of camp, a fire big enough that you could see it from other planets. I got on to him and told him, said, no, can't do it, cigarettes, the campfire smoke. He got upset with me because I wouldn't sleep in camp. I went way on out and just slept out in the weeds. But so the next morning when we got ready to go hunting, I smelled him before I got back to camp because he had dug around in his truck and found a bottle of cologne, and he was smelling like a Little Rock hooker. And so the point being, hide your smell. You can shower. They've got soap that'll take the scent away. They've got antiperspirant that'll keep you from sweating so much where you won't stink so bad. They got detergent for your clothes. But all that does is just, that takes away the smell. And, the Swede can tell you better than I can about how to, once you get the smell, the man smell off of you, how to keep anything from smelling the man smell when you get started walking and sweat a little bit. Go ahead, Swede.
Well, what we generally do, I mean, this is the way that, this is the rule of thought in my mind and in Rocky's mind. You can minimize your human scent, but you're never going to eliminate it. There's just no way to do it. If you're tracking and you're physically active, you're going to hose it down. It doesn't matter. You're going to, I mean, it just takes a few molecules off of your forehead to put your scent in the air. And so you have to just have to get it in your head that you're going to minimize, or you're going to fool the nose of your quarry. So, like if we're up on top and we're up there by the cattle field or something like that, after we've, you know, we don't wear the clothes that we're going to track in by any kind of a fire, which we always cold camp without a fire. But if you did, you don't want to be walking out there with your clothes smoked like a smoked ham walking out there, because it's just not a natural thing. I mean, fire, if they've had a controlled burn or something like that, you know, that's something natural you might want to do, walk around in it. But, like, you know, if you're up there by the farmer's place up there and he's got cattle, go find you a big green cow pie and wade through there a little bit with your boots. Get some on your shoes where you got something natural you're leaving a scent behind. You know, me and Rocky's, we've been driving down the road and see the Farmer John's dog laying out there, got ironed out by a car, automobile. You know, that's a good opportunity right there. We'll just get off and stomp around in him a little bit and put some scent on like that. Use something that's natural. If it's, you know, it could be, if you got cedar trees in your neck of the woods, cut you a few limbs off that cedar tree and throw it in the bag with your clothes. If it's nothing more than wild onions, we've used that many times. Get that wild onion and just rub them britches down, rub them arms down. Put some scent
in. Tarsal gland.
What? Yeah, tarsal gland is a deer tarsal gland is a great cover scent. It's so strong and it's very natural. You can use, just whatever it may be. Maybe sassafras, maybe, you know, just whatever it is that you can use that, because you're not gonna eliminate your scent, but if you put enough of something else, it'll blend it to where it's more natural and they don't second guess it so much. So the scent thing's a big thing, but the major thing in that whole scenario, just like me and Rocky always say, that you'll never, your best ally is the wind. If you've got the wind in your face, you can smell anything, or I can smell anything in front of me. If it's hogs, I can usually pick up on the smell. If it's deer, you know, don't necessarily can smell a deer, but occasionally at the right time of the year, you might smell a deer. But if it's hogs, you could definitely pick up on them with the smell. If there's a big creature up there and I've smelled the smell that I've smelled twice now, I can pick up on them too. Because it always smells like rotten sweet potatoes, kind of a smell, with a little funky rotten sweet potato smell to me. What the Sasquatch smells like to me, and it's ingrained in my brain. So if I pick up just a little bit of it, you know, he's at the disadvantage because I've used the wind to my advantage. But, you know, me and Rocky, and on the tracking thing, you know, we use a couple of techniques beyond the control of your own scent. Rocky, why don't you talk about how we can find out which way stuff's going on the trail? You know, we're talking about a couple of days effort here to find out what's going on and pick up on it. It's not, you just don't walk out there and do it. We're talking over a couple, 3 days maybe to figure out what the pattern is and what's on the trail.
Well, what we usually do is we have, thanks to the Swede, we have access to lots and lots of thread. Well, thread, you can carry a mile of thread easier than you can carry a game camera. Well, you tie thread across a trail at different heights. If you have one down, one of the threads are broken at like 2.5 feet off the ground, chances are you got a hog or something like that. If it's 3.5 feet, maybe a little more, then you probably got a deer. Well, if it's, if it's 6 feet or better, you can bet it's something that you've got to watch out for. Just exactly what we're looking for. But we never step foot on the game trail. We walk parallel to game trails. I have a monocular, and whenever we check our strings, our thread, we do it from a distance. You see which way the end of the thread is pointing. In most cases, that's a good indicator of what direction whatever it was that broke it is going. In the film that Robert sent you, you can see all the way around our camp a thread way up off the ground. Well, it was broken. Well, it was, that was the night that, Robert, that the Swede got his first sighting. You walk alongside a trail. I use my monocular. I can squat and get the angle to where I can see the shine. Might not. Some animals just won't leave a shine. Something with a big flat leathery cushion foot will leave shine.
Good shine. See it.
Yeah. Anything with hooves, well, of course, you're going to see holes. You're going to see anytime that you see a pebble turned over. I mean, you see moisture on top of a pebble when nothing else has moisture on it. Well, that's a pretty good indicator. In the mornings, we've used spider webs. The dew on spider webs. Dew is a wonderful thing when you're trying to track. Most animals will stick to the center of the trail. The spider webs, we've out there where we go, by the time you get to the end of the trail, you've got enough spider webs hanging off of you to knit a sweater out of. The trick is to stay away from the trail as much as possible. Set up thread. Like I say, it's a lot easier than messing with a game camera. If you see that the thread is down, go close enough to see what it is that took it down, but don't ever step on the trail. Run and jump it if you have to, but stay off the trail. Be sure that you've got a scent on you, that if there is a scent left behind, there's enough of the other scent to mask the man scent a little bit. Might not fool them completely, but you don't have to fool them completely. And the main thing is spend a lot of time. When we killed the big old hog that we called Fort Chop, we saw it one day, and then a little over 2 months later, we finally brought it down. Well, we saw a lot of hogs, but we only saw one particular hog. It took us that long to get him. Well, you have to put in the time. You can't disturb the trail. You need to stay off the trail as much as you possibly can, as long as you're able to see enough of the trail to see if something else has disturbed it. Now, like I say, if something knows that you're coming, they're going to make it as rough on you as possible. And sometimes that makes it, whether they realize it or not, it makes it easier to track them. Something that doesn't know you're behind it, it's going to walk the trail. It's going to take its time. You've got to take your time. You don't want to track it to the point that you and it surprise each other. But never hunt with the wind to your back.
Thank you much. Well, Rocky and Sweet, I'm going to open it up for everybody right now.
Sure.
If that's okay with you.
That's cool.
Mac, you're on. Blake, you're on. Anthony, you're on. Chuck, you're on. And Snake Man, you're on. Well, everybody, first of all, does anybody have any questions for Blake?
I did. I had a question for Blake. I wanted to ask him if he had picked up on any kind of a smell whenever he was. I know he said he was 100 yards away, but obviously the wind was good because he didn't get busted out on the wind. So I was wondering if he had if he smelled anything in amongst that sighting, or if he was just focused on it and didn't pay any attention.
I really wasn't paying no attention to it.
Well, I just wondered if you had picked up on any scent or not.
No, sir, I couldn't really smell nothing, and I think it was downwind for me.
I see. Well, that was my question. Congratulations on your sighting, anyway. That's a good deal. That's a good deal.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for Blake. I know he said that you did say you were watching it for like 10 minutes.
Yes, sir. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Were you able to tell if, you know, any facial features, male, female, anything like that?
I couldn't really tell. It just had a really big head. Yeah. And wide shoulders.
Okay. Were you able to see, like, arm, you know, like, were you able to see, like, five-digit hands or anything like that, or just covered with hair?
It had really big hands and, like, pretty big eyes.
What time of the day, you figure?
Do what now?
What time of the day?
Right, dark.
Right when it starts to get dark?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, but I watched it all the way till dark.
Well, Blake,
prior to you seeing that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Blake. Do you have any questions of anybody?
Well, you know that the guy that shot that one or whatever.
Rocky?
Are you talking about Rocky?
Yeah, what are you talking about there?
You're talking Rocky.
Oh.
He's talking about
yeah,
the area.
Yeah, that was me.
What'd you shoot?
No, it was a friend of ours. It was a little black bear that's been...
Yeah, we didn't explain. Hobbit, he's a little hateful bear we run into.
Yeah, he's been kind of terrorizing some of the campers and some of the farmers and all that. Me and Roberts didn't have any idea how old he was because he never got that close. But we called him the Hobbit because he's a little old, knobby looking dude, but. When I went and saw him today, he was, he's only about 150 pounder, and he's old. If he wasn't 10 years old, he sure missed a good chance at it. But his teeth is worn out, and he just, I don't know, he was in really bad shape. And when I got there, he had 400 grains. Bullets in him, so he was in even worse shape. But, anyhow, no, he's with me and the Swede. He's kind of been kind of a friendly adversary for us. And, you know, it kind of, it was one of those things we figured he's going to have to die sooner or later. And we figured it would be one of us that did it. But it was a good friend of ours, so. But, now the, I was thinking, I guess it was last week or the week before, the one kid was talking about, Bigfoot that he saw having really long claws.
Yeah.
And, you know, never heard anything like that before, but I got to thinking about it and,
yes.
I looked it up just the other day. I can't even remember what kind of monkey it was, but it looked like it had claws 6 inches long until you looked at them real close, and it was just long hair off of his fingers. It was just tufts of hair. And I was just, you know, I can't remember the guy's name or anything, but it was just something that came up. And I wondered if maybe that may have been the situation, because I've never heard of one having claws before, fingernails maybe, but not claws.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I think that's, it's a good assumption, too. It would look like a claw. Tufts of hair, it would look like a claw.
Well, I didn't see no claws. They just have really big hands.
Yeah. Well, this is somebody else, Blake. Somebody else had reported in, it was a white one, and it was white, you know, white fur, everything, and it white hair, everything. And I think it was, yeah, and he had thought that he'd, you know, the fingers were like long with long claws, and I think what it was the white hair tuft looks like a claw.
Where did he see this at?
He was from, I can't remember. I got to go look it up.
I can't remember either.
Another kid.
I'll tell you.
Louisiana, and I can't remember where he was from.
I can't remember.
Well, you know, I'm disappointed. I counted on the Swede to remember remember that for me, but.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it was. Yeah. He was actually from Florida, and Louisiana is where they were.
Right.
Yeah, Louisiana. They were out on maneuvers in Louisiana.
Yeah, that's the deal. I knew there was something with Florida and Louisiana, but I couldn't remember which one was which.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty excitable. He was a little nervous over his sighting.
Was it over towards Moody Air Force Base in Florida by chance?
No, it was in Louisiana. They have an Army base over there that they do maneuvers and stuff on. Right. We're out on a navigation exercise, and while him and his partner were on a navigation exercise, they had a sighting where the creature, actually what happened was they were sitting down, it was really hot, and all of a sudden the tree started shaking that was just real close to him, and the whole tree shook, and they scared the heck out of him, and they looked, and this creature steps out, and of course they didn't wait around very long. They were lost, but they ran scared in the right direction. They found their way up.
Well, it's always good to run scared in the right direction.
Hey, I didn't run, but I was scared.
Oh no, I understand. Most everybody is, and that's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, that's nothing to be, you know. Don't worry. I mean, it's, you see something that's 7-8 feet tall, and something you've never seen before. Obviously, you're not going to go up and shake his hand.
Yeah. Running can be your friend.
Right.
Hey, Mark, a little warning for people. Any Bigfoot hunters that are in the northeast Texas area, be careful. There's been a lot of panthers and mountain lion activity.
Oh, really?
Yes, we've been having a lot of problems here with mountain lions that have been attacking horses and cattle and different things.
Wow. Lisa, I tell you what, it's, actually, there's panthers and mountain lions and all these other stuff have been pretty getting more frequent here through the years.
Right.
You know, it used to be the coyotes, and the coyotes used to be kind of relegated
right.
towards the western part of the United States pretty much.
Right.
And now they're all over everywhere.
I've been getting calls and reports about them every now and again, but then they started getting more and more frequently.
Hey, well, I'm hoping them two guys can come down here and we can see something again on my land down here.
Well, Chuck, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Well, Chuck, why don't you step in there? Blake is right here on the line here.
I just been sitting there listening with interest, buddy.
Oh, I know. No, I said, Blake just said it's he was hoping that you guys would come on down there. You got a plan, right?
Well, you know, me being in the military and being overseas and doing a lot of stuff I do, and I talk to Blake and all that stuff, he's not a bullshitter. The
no.
man seen what he seen.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, there's no question.
And right now I'm getting over pneumonia.
Yeah, I know you are.
Yes, sir.
I was in the hospital and all that stuff, so blah, 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 woe is me. But, you know what I mean? But,
you ain't nothing to be.
Blake is, he seems to me like a real, real, extremely honest person. He has no reason to bullshit nobody about nothing, you know, and, what we're trying to do right now is, I've got up with Greg, and all, and we're trying to where we can get down there, not this weekend, but next weekend.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Okay, if that's okay with Blake, you know.
Yes, sir.
I told Blake, I said, look, this is the South down here. You can't just go in the woods and go Bigfoot hunting, you know. I mean, deer season and all that stuff. Yeah, but he assured me that he has the property, and he has everything, and we'll just go down there and see what we can find, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I got to do.
All I got to do is get it okay by one person, and we'll be good.
Say what's that, Blake?
All I got to do is get it okay with one person, and we'll be good.
I didn't hear you, Blake. I'm sorry, bud.
I said all I got to do is get it okay by one guy, and we'll be good. Don't come down.
I thought you owned the property.
Sir?
I said I thought you owned the property.
Well, I own the property where I saw it, but I don't own the property that butts up to it, and I'm in the hunting club that butts up to the property where I saw it, and which, if it's coming on my property, it's going on that property too, and that the 3,000 acres that
all
butts
right.
up to my property is where he's coming from, and
okay.
so...
All right. Okay, I understand all that and everything, but you understand where I've been in the past before by going, go find Bigfoot and all that, and then we go, and then boom, everything's canceled. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Chuck, he just said he's going to get permission from one guy, and then everything's a go.
Okay.
All right. He knows the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. I trust him, Blake. He's a good person.
Yes, sir. He's my uncle, and he's not the uncle I've been telling you about, Hunter. My other uncle on my other side, and he's not really related to him, but I call him my Uncle Dole, and he's over the big hunting club, and
well,
I get
ask you something, Blake. You don't mind.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Evidently, you've told all these people about this sighting that you've had down here.
I haven't.
You have told nobody about it?
I ain't told too many people, no, sir.
So, in other words, if you told somebody something about it, they're going to think you're crazy, or...
Do what now?
hey, join the crowd. I'm crazy as hell, too. Well, I've done seen three of them.
Yes, sir. Oh, they're out there. There ain't no doubt about it.
You know, I've done seen three of them, son.
Yes, sir.
No?
And that's why I don't run them out just to everybody. I don't want them thinking I'm crazy, but I really don't care now. No, it's true.
Well, Blake, it's like this, bud. Look, you say, well, I've seen them, okay? Yeah, everybody takes your word for it, okay? Guess what?
What?
I've done seen it, and I've done casted footprints, and I've done had dermal ridges, fingerprints, in the casting material. How are you going to fake that? So, see, don't think that you're out there by yourself. You know, as far as a Looney Tune and nothing like that, there is doctors, lawyers, game wardens, law enforcement officers. I've had law enforcement officers call me from Coffee County Sheriff's Department, come out and report sightings of this thing, okay?
Yes, sir.
And casted tracks and everything. So don't think you're crazy. This is all recorded. Everything is record.
So, yes, sir.
Just don't think you're crazy, okay, bud? Just
yes, sir.
Keep your head up, you know, and if somebody says you're crazy as hell, you know what? Smile at them and say, hell yeah, I am.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So we'll try to get down there as quick as possible. And
As far as supplies is what I would need to go with y'all, what do I need to bring?
Say it again, Blake. I'm sorry, man. I'm a disabled veteran. I'm hard hearing. What'd you say?
I said as far as stuff I would need to bring on this expedition, what would I need to bring with y'all?
Bud, look, I got night vision. I got cameras. I got all that stuff. You don't worry about none of that stuff. If you can get us access on this property, and we're not going to mess with nobody hunting or anything like that, you know, you don't worry about nothing, okay?
Yes, sir. All right.
And but what I'm saying is what kind of tore me up the other day is you told me, you said, well, can I go? And I'm like, wow, what are you talking about? This is your property.
Yeah.
Yes, you can go. You know the area. You know the terrain.
Oh, yeah, I know it like the back of my hand. Hey, I got a question for all y'all. This thing I seen, y'all talk about him being in the swampy areas, but where I seen him, he really wasn't in a swampy area. He was kind of in an opening, like almost not far from here.
Okay, what's your question?
It doesn't have to be in a swampy area. They're anywhere where there's food, water, and some form of shelter.
And they'll come out of a swampy area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But have y'all ever seen them at clear cuts or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They've been seen on the roadsides. They've been seen right next to town. In fact, I had a call yesterday from a guy, and from Palm Springs in California here, and he's been for up to 3 months now. He's been watching a creature come up, and next to a hedge, next to a building on the edge of town, right on the edge of town, and it comes there for food or something. You don't know what it comes there for, but it comes there every night, and stays there about 9, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And I don't think there's a specific terrain that these creatures are. They're anywhere. I mean, they're anywhere as long as they can survive. And they survive on what's available.
We don't have any swamp here, Blake. Up around our part of the country.
No, it's woods and bluffs. Rocky waters.
Yes, sir.
Hey, bud, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Just do me a favor, bud.
Yes, sir.
You still going to be hunting out there, right?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All right, this is what I want you to do for me, okay?
Yes, sir.
go out there, hunt like you normally hunt, do everything like you normally hunt, go down on the water bottoms, everything like that, look for tracks, footprints, things like that. If you see one covered up, and just, you know, just use your common sense, okay?
Yes, yes, sir.
And, you know, I mean, evidently there's three sightings there, so the thing, for some reason or another, it likes being in that area right there.
Yes, sir.
So, just be in that area, and don't shoot it, whatever you do. Because they never travel alone. So, you know what I'm saying? I know you told me at one time you're going to shoot it. Don't shoot it. You know what I mean? Unless you have backup or something. Unless you have backup.
And I want to shoot this thing pretty bad.
Good boy.
I want you, hey, Blake, listen to me.
Yes, sir.
Don't do it. Okay, there's been reports in the past of people that have shot this thing. Okay?
Yes, sir.
They didn't ever get out of the woods. What I'm telling you is, don't do it. Just go and observe them.
Yes, sir.
You know? And don't, I know you're, what, 16 years old?
Yes, sir, fixing to be 16 December.
Vinegar and all that stuff. Don't do that. Because if you're going to shoot one, you're fixing to shoot a bunch of them. Okay?
Yes, sir.
So just don't do that, okay? Just let us come down there, and we'll see what's going on with it, okay?
Yes, sir.
And we'll look at the area and all that stuff, but it's in your best interest. It's not going to hurt you. Excuse me, Marco, I'm sorry. I'm still getting over pneumonia. But just go down there, do your normal thing, just look on the waterways and all that stuff for footprints and all that stuff. Have you ever made a plaster cast before?
No, sir. I really don't even know how to do that.
You don't know how to do it?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, when me and Greg come down there, not this weekend, but next weekend, we'll go. But in the meantime, that's like 2 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could go down there and you could really just take, and don't do no just getting in your stand hunting. Just do some stalk hunting.
Yes, sir.
Where you walk and walk and walk.
Yes, sir.
And just look along creek bottoms and all that stuff and just look for prints. So,
yes.
You know, I'm just telling you what to do. You ask me what to do, I'm telling you what to do.
Yes, sir.
You know, so.
But well, anyway, everybody, I want to thank everybody for coming on the show tonight. Chuck, thanks for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Blake, thank you for coming on. Mac, thank you.
Yep.
Swede and Rocky, thank you so much. Snake Man.
You bet. You're welcome.
Thank you all the time, buddy.
Marco.
Hey, well, I got one more question for you.
Okay.
For everybody on here, but I know one of y'all ain't. Have any of y'all know anybody that's ever got a shot on one of these things, wounded one of these things?
Rocky.
Several people have.
Yeah. Fired on him.
I know somebody.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, Rocky did, and Rocky got through about 30 feet as well.
Yep.
Wow.
You really did?
Oh, yeah.
Three shots with the .454 at Casull, and then I got launched into space.
The thing threw you?
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky.
We made contact.
Hey, Rocky.
Yes.
Can you call me? I need to talk to you.
Hey, sure. Marco, didn't Roger Peterson kill
If you don't
okay,
mind,
everybody.
Call me, Rocky. I need to talk to you, bud.
I'll get your number for Marco.
Yeah, I'll give you a call right after the show, Rocky.
All right,
okay.
Hey, Marco.
Good night, everybody. I want to thank everybody for coming on the show. Okay.
Okay.
Right, take care,
guys, folks.
Well, everybody.
All right. Well, I'll talk to y'all later. And, I'll talk to y'all later this week. And thank you for having me on here.
You're welcome, and thank you. Well, everybody, time to say goodbye. Keep Bigfooting. Keep the Bigfoot going. We'll see everybody
good
next Wednesday. Remember, next Wednesday, we got a special. It's the Patterson-Gimlin Swindle Behind the Patterson-Gimlin Film Footage Deception. Don't miss it. Spread the word around, and we'll see everybody next week. Take care now, and good night.
Right.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We'll put them together.